What's the internet connection? What's the internet connection?
We're going to get the afternoon session started in the first case, and I'll let Mr. Griffith explain this. We do a little bit different than the way they do it in planning zoning. But our first case would be conditional use 18-17. And I'll let Mr. Griffith explain how we run the game here. Mr. Griffith?
Good afternoon. My name's Jim Griffin. I'm the county attorney, and I'll briefly explain the procedure. We'll start by having Mr. Lank give us a preview of the prior history of the matter. After that, we will then call on the applicant to present their case. After the applicant has presented their case, then we will open the floor to any members of the public who are here who wish to be heard, either in support of or in opposition to the application. We don't conduct this like a trial. We don't have one side cross-examining the other, but we let everybody say what they need to say to make the record complete. If you have a cell phone or a paging device, please turn it off or turn it to silent service so as not to create interruptions. If you do choose to come down to the speaker stand and make a statement, before you make your statement, give us your name and tell us your address. That way we can preserve and have a record of who is making what statements. If somebody comes to the podium and makes a statement that you agree with, don't applaud or cheer. If somebody makes a statement you disagree with, don't boo. Just let everybody have their say and don't try not to interrupt them, and we would appreciate it very much. Anybody have any questions about the procedure? Thank you. Mr. Lank, is there any, let me also say that this application was before council on a prior occasion. This hearing is being held because the first time that this matter came before council and the Planning and Zoning Commission, it was not properly advertised. It did not have all the bells and whistles that it should have had. And the version of the ordinance that is back before you today has corrected those mistakes. After the first hearing before county council, this application was approved. Then a lawsuit was filed, and as a result of those technical errors being pointed out in the lawsuit, the attorneys who represented the parties stipulated that that ordinance would be void and the applicant would have to start over. The applicant has started over, refiled the same application, and now it's back before us, properly advertised this time. Mr. Lang?
Yes, thank you. This is conditional use number 18-17. It's the application of Colonial East Limited to amend ordinance number 1187 for conditional use number 1198, a conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for an expansion of an existing manufactured home park by adding 82 lots as phase two to the currently constructed 108 lots being phase one, creating a manufactured home community of 190 lots to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, Delaware, containing 55.29 acres, more or less, lying on the northeast corner of the intersection of U.S. Route 9 and Minas Conaway Road, also referred to as Road 265. The Planning and Zoning held a public hearing on this application on November 13th of 2008. The applicant provided the commission with a three-ring binder exhibit booklet and site plans. That information is also supplied in a somewhat amended version to the council. We heard comments from the County Engineering Department. We heard comments from the Office of State Planning Coordination. The commission received a copy of a letter from David Shavak opposing this application, which is a part of the commission's record and report. The commission also received copies of the Office of State Planning Coordination comments as an insert for the exhibit booklet. Steve Class of Colonial East Limited was present with Heidi Ballier, attorney, and Dan Speakman, a professional engineer of McCrone Incorporated, who all gave testimony. The commission was provided with a verbal transcript of the record in reference to the 9 conditions of approval for the original conditional use number 1198 per ordinance number 1187. They also were provided with a verbal reading of the one of the findings, which referenced that the council found that a reduction in the number of units to a maximum of 108 will result in a density which is compatible with the AR agriculture residential zoning of the surrounding area. They were also advised that on the original site plan, this area proposed for consideration this evening or this afternoon is labeled as undeveloped area, not as open space. We heard comments from Patricia Williams, a resident of Sussex East community, supported the application. We heard comments from Wayne Baker, Karen Laura, and Francis Baker in opposition. The council or the commission asked that I read the findings of facts from the original application, which I did read. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed the application. Mr. Johnson stated he had increased density concerns, the taking of open area and excellent recharge area for housing units, 82 additional lots with no amenities, that the site is not conducive for active or passive open space for the entire Sussex East and Sussex West communities, that no amenities are being offered, and that there is nothing being offered that supports his vote. The commission was reminded by the chairman that the commission only makes a recommendation, that the council makes the final decision. Mr. Robertson, assistant county attorney, reminded the commission that this conditional use is an amendment to an existing ordinance. Therefore, Mr. Johnson stated that he would move that the commission recommend denial of conditional use 1817 for Colonial East Limited based on the record and for the following reasons. 1, Mr. Johnson was concerned about developing an area that has been maintained as an open area ever since the original approval in 1997 for this parcel for 82 additional housing units. This area is also considered an excellent recharge area. 2, the county council originally approved 108 lots on 54 acres for a density of 2 lots per acre, which was similar to nearby communities and allowable in the AR1 district. The approved 108 lots was also apparently a compromise reached as a result of the significant opposition from nearby residents. 3, the developer chose to locate all the dwelling units on approximately 34 acres, leaving approximately 20 acres vacant. 4, the applicant is now requesting to increase the density on this parcel significantly without any justification other than additional lots. 5, no additional amenities are being proposed. The current facilities, which are limited in nature, are available to the 295 units already built in Sussex East and Sussex West. And 6, since the development of Sussex West, no provisions were made for safe pedestrian and bicycling travel. There was a motion, a second, to forward this application to the council with a recommendation that the application be denied for the reasons stated. That motion carried 3-2. The chairman asked for a roll call vote. Mr. Smith, Mr. Johnson, and Mr. Burton voted in support of the motion. Mr. Gordy and Mr. Wheatley opposed the motion. I did receive one additional comment from an agency. It was the Sussex Conservation District. It was received on November 24th. Advising us of the soil types. There are 3 different soil types on this portion of the site. The applicant would be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during any construction and to maintain vegetation after completion of construction. There are no storm flood hazard areas affected. It may not be necessary for any off-site drainage improvements. There are no tax ditches affected. There may be necessary for additional on-site drainage improvements due to the increase in impervious area may necessitate a stormwater management plan. Attached to that memorandum was a copy of an aerial photograph and an aerial photograph overlaid with soil types. And that's all I have at this time, gentlemen.
Any questions by members of council? Okay. Is the applicant prepared to proceed?
Yes. Good afternoon, gentlemen. I feel privileged to be here one last time before you change over.
Could you please pull those mics close to you? Your voice is soft. We want everybody in the room to be able to hear. If somebody can't hear when a speaker's up here, please let us know.
Oh, that way. Thank you. Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Heidi Balliet, and I'm with the law firm of Tunnel and Razor, and I'm here with the applicant for conditional use 1817 Colonial East LP. Steve Klass is here with me. He's a partner with Colonial East. And also with me is Dan Speakman with McCroon. Just the order of presentation, I will present information into the record, and Mr. Speakman will also follow me with some of the engineering issues, and then we can field some questions from you. The 20.79-acre parcel, which Mr. Lank just addressed, again, we were requesting an amended conditional use. The property is zoned AR1 and is located on the northeast side of Minos Conaway Road and along Route 9. The property was originally approved in 1985. My client proposes to extend the current use of the property for the manufactured home park. There will be no retail sales or other buildings erected on the site. This is an appropriate type of conditional use as per the Sussex County Ordinance. As required by the code, the applicant has addressed all items set forth in Section 11572G of the Mobile Home Park Conditional Uses. We've prepared and previously submitted our development booklet, which you have access to. And I would just like to address a few of the following items. Number one, access to the site is from Minos Conaway Road, and a manufactured home will have access to a home site directly from that road. It'll be from the interior streets. All the interior roadways are hard surfaced and maintained along with the current roads in accordance with the county specifications. The entrance is currently constructed and is built to DLDOT standards based on the additional 82 home sites we are requesting with this amendment. Two, the topography of the site will facilitate proper drainage, and I'll allow Mr. Speakman to address that during his presentation further. Three, the size of the parcel being in excess of 20 acres satisfies the minimum requirements under the code. Four, the minimum site area for each manufactured home is proposed to range in size from 6,000 square feet to 15,000 square feet, which averages approximately 20% more than the minimum required. The average size is around 6,800 square feet. Five, the community has a recreational area available to park residents. The recreational area is member restricted with card access. There is a clubhouse currently on the site, and the community currently works with several organizations to provide services within the community, such as Bookmobile, Cheer, Para Services, Meals on Wheels, and the Tunnel Cancer Center. They also allow various groups to use the clubhouse, such as the Delaware Division of Aging, community homeowners associations in the area, charitable organizations, community groups, such as the Red Hat Society, and other public and private agencies. Number six, the park has a natural vegetative buffer surrounding the boundary lines of the property, and it does remain free of buildings and streets. Seven, the proper setbacks between the buildings have been followed, and they will continue to be complied with as per the code for structures erected. Eight, there is interior driveway access to each home site erected, providing the adequate number of parking spaces under the code. Nine, there are currently no retail services provided, nor none requested with this application. 10, the property is serviced by Central Water and Sewer, and we have been allocated the proper number of EDUs from the county based on the requested additional 82 home sites. There are proper electrical connections and fire protection throughout the community. 11, there is proper trash collection within the community. And lastly, number 12, the site is a manufactured housing community permitting multi-sectional housing, not single width. The community is restricted for housing type as well as age restricted to those adults at 55 and older. No sheds are permitted, but garages can be included with the structure. It is our request for 82 additional housing sites to be located within the community. These sites would be leased only. They are subject to community restrictions, and there are currently no violations pending for this community. The community is clean and attractive to area residents. This community is highly sought after due to its location in the Lewis area, easy access to public transportation, its proximity to supportive services such as VB Hospital and related medical community personnel, retail and shopping areas which are in the area, as well as the overall pleasant atmosphere in the community. There's a great demand for these affordable home sites, and the applicant has a demand wait list that keeps growing. As you may be familiar, the applicant has been involved with and spearheaded state and local regulations relating to manufactured housing and leased land. Mr. Klass can give firsthand information on the demands in Sussex County for the type of affordable housing he provides, as well as providing such housing in a safe and healthy environment. The applicant will continue to work with DLDOT to minimize traffic impact in the area. He has actually proposed solutions to DLDOT for this area, such as installing and relocating bus stops that can support the residents of the particular community. Traffic impact to the site will be minimal based on the fact that there are two existing entrances to the site that are currently operational, and this community is already established. The visibility on this section of the roadway is very good. The community is currently monitored with speed signs and radar. There are no speed bumps, and the interior streets are 100% maintained by the applicant. The proposed use is in accordance with the Sussex County Comprehensive Development Plan, since the parcel for which the conditional use is sought is in the environmentally sensitive developing area, which permits this type of residential use proposed by our client. The residential use proposed will be consistent with the use in the general area. The use will not be a risk to the environment since the property has central water and sewer. There will be no discharges or effluents that would affect any environmentally sensitive areas in close proximity to the site. There would be no adverse impact on surrounding property values or other neighborhood uses. The client's proposed use is an extension of the current facility and is consistent with other residential uses in the general vicinity. The socioeconomic benefit of the applicant's business is that it will provide needed, affordable housing to the growing 55 and older population. The applicant's current facility is in acceptance with this extension, and since Mr. Klass and his company has demonstrated an operation of the current community during the last 20 or more years that it runs a neat and orderly facility, the county can be assured that this extension will be operated in the same manner. As previously indicated, the proposed site is located in an area which has been deemed suitable for such use under the current comprehensive development plan by promoting the health, safety, morals, convenience, order, and welfare of the present and future inhabitants of Sussex County. And the adoption of the conditional use ordinance, as well as the amendment to the previously issued conditional use ordinance, is for the general convenience and welfare of the inhabitants of Sussex County. I will ask Mr. Speakman to come forward and address some of the engineering issues, and then we can jointly answer questions that you might have.
Good afternoon. My name is Daniel Speakman. I'm a professional engineer for McCrone Incorporated, and I'm here to speak about this subdivision. Subdivision is adjacent to four other subdivisions: Red Mill Farms subdivision to the north, Brittany Acres to the west, Sussex East to the east, and the reserves of Lewis Landing across Route 9 to the south. As such, this is infill development. It's anticipated that very few trees will be removed and existing trees will be protected. There will be a 50-foot forested or landscaped buffer along Minas Conaway Road. That existing buffer will stay. The site contains no wetlands as delineated by Becker Morgan in June of 1999, and the site lies in Zone X, so there is no base flood elevation or floodplain associated with this project. The Department of Agriculture has no objections to the proposed project, and no construction is proposed in any natural wooded area. There are no historic sites listed for this property. Open space was provided in the first section, and there are community facilities. We are well above the minimum open space for this type of development. The build-out will provide 23% open space when it's done, and the minimum would be 10%. In terms of grade changes and topography of the site is relatively flat, but it does drain mostly towards the existing stormwater management facility. There will be an open section conveyance that will convey runoff to a bioretention area at the northernmost portion of the site. There will be a closed section drainage network that will then convey that runoff, whatever runoff does not infiltrate through that biofiltration area, will convey that south to the existing stormwater management facility. That stormwater management facility was sized for this future development in addition to the existing development. It has been approved by Sussex Conservation District, and there is currently no outstanding issues. Sussex Conservation District has taken a look at that and has agreed that the existing computations do support the future development. Tidewater Utilities will provide sufficient capacity for potable water and fire protection. And the West Rehoboth Sanitary Sewer District has provided EDUs in support of the additional 82 units. As I said earlier, all runoff will be conveyed by an open drainage system to the biofiltration area. It will then be routed to the stormwater pond. We are designing these BMPs to encourage recharge and promote water quality. There will be a water balance done to show that we meet the groundwater recharge requirements listed in the source water protection ordinance. We believe that through the employment of these best management practices, runoff will receive better treatment than during the pre-development conditions. Currently, the runoff from this undeveloped site runs right onto the street, or right up to the street, which I believe is King's Crossing Drive. At a prior hearing, a flooding issue was raised, or an issue with downstream conveyance. I think particularly it was raised that this runoff was affecting downstream trees. Taking a look at the pictures and looking out there, there has been a drainage improvement constructed associated with the Mills Chase subdivision, condominium subdivision, directly to the west. It would appear that this conveyance is sufficient to convey the runoff from the existing stormwater management facility. It's not clear how the discharge from this pond would cause any damage to those trees. There is an existing dell-dot entrance that is approved. Tab number 17 in the binder shows the approval of state highway for said entrance. It also has computations that support that it was constructed and designed for the total build-out of 190 lots. We do not anticipate an adverse effect on area roadways and public transportation based on these additional 82 units. In terms of compatibility with other land uses, the build-out density of the subdivision will be 3.44 units per acre. Sussex East, an existing mobile manufactured home community, is 4.2 units per acre as constructed. Whispering Pines to the east is 5.96 units per acre. So we feel that this, and the both of those manufactured home communities are just east of this subdivision. In terms of an effect on area waterways, we believe that the existing stormwater management facility coupled with the groundwater recharge best management practices that we're going to propose will actually have a positive effect on area waterways by encouraging groundwater recharge and providing water quality. Managed runoff, as I said, flows west under Minus Conaway Road, and it flows along Brittany Acres in a Sussex Conservation District approved swale that was developed with the Mills Chase condominium subdivision. That concludes the testimony I have. Are there any questions?
Any questions of?
I don't think so, Jim.
Is there anything else that you would like to present?
I just have a folder of letters in support of that didn't make it into the file prior to today. So
we'll pass that down to Mr. Lang. If that concludes your presentation, we will open the floor to members of the public.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let me ask him a couple questions.
Okay. We didn't think there were any, sorry.
Okay, no, I'm sorry. I was waiting to see if they were done. How do you address the, as I read through all the comments, it seems like the recharge area is of critical importance to some of the opposition and the DNREC. How is that plan taken into consideration the concerns of DNREC with some of their quotes about, the percentage that should be developed and not developed, and it seems your numbers exceed what DNREC has recommended.
For the Source Water Protection Act, are you speaking specifically groundwater recharge?
In the plus comments, I was just reading, and let me find them. What tab is that? Plus.
It should be 14, Mr. Bowman.
Is it 14 now? Let me see. I just was there.
If I'm not mistaken.
You might be right. That's upside
right.
Down. 14. Here we go. In the plus comments, where we got down to its description, let me get down here a little further. Wait a minute. I'll see where it starts on the impervious cover area. Anyway, since the amount of imperviousness generated by this project, 45% I guess they said, will be significantly exceed the desirable watershed threshold. What are you doing to, in that plan, to help offset what you're doing here and versus what they want you to do? Maybe I don't know what plan it is, but anyway, what are you guys doing in this plan?
I understand. Our best management practices include open section, which is grass channels along the road, and also a bioretention area to the north of the site. A vast majority of the impervious area that will run off of impervious surfaces will either flow through flat backyards to these open section ditches, and then to the bioretention area, and then through the storm drain network to the pond.
Okay, and the Department of Natural Resources finds that acceptable to meet their concerns?
They're going to require that we do computations to prove that the groundwater, the infiltration, meets or exceeds the existing condition infiltration rate.
Okay, which you haven't done yet, right?
That's correct.
Right.
That design will be finalized before this plan can be approved.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and if it comes to find out that you don't meet that threshold, what happens?
They will not approve the plans without meeting that goal. So we'll have to reduce impervious area.
Okay.
Or increase best management practices until we reach that threshold.
I've never seen a developer lose any lots because of this. I'm just wondering what happens if you don't make it. It just do they actually take lots away sometimes? They have.
Better if they don't get a clearance, and they don't have the amount of permits to go down.
Right, and I do agree. I looked at the aerial photograph, and it is obvious that it looks like it's suitable for an infill type of thing. It does when you look at that aerial, and then I do have to agree that that makes some sense. Okay, now go ahead. I'll see if I can think of it. I had some other things I was making notes of.
Thank you.
Thanks. Jim.
Is there anyone here from the public who has not yet been recognized who would like to speak in support of this application? Anyone wish to speak in support? Yes, ma'am. Would state your name and your address before you make your statement. We would appreciate it.
My name is Virginia Kaiser. I live at 4 Enfield Lane in Sussex East. I'm in a kind of a strange situation, seeing as how I work for Steve Class in Colonial East, and I live in Sussex East. So I get to see both sides of it. I get to see how well-managed my community is. We do periodic inspections on the outside of the homes to make sure that they're maintained, that they meet our high standards. If they don't, they get sent a letter. The community itself, well, my husband and I moved here 6 years ago, and we spent months driving around, going to all the different communities. And we realized that the first place we looked at, Sussex East, was where we wanted to go. It's a beautiful community. You ride through the streets, everybody says hello, they wave to you whether they know you or not. Like I said, it's well managed. The manor house, our community building, is well maintained. It's well used. It's open to anybody that belongs to, that lives in the community. It's open to people that don't live in the community. We've done some public service things there. We had a health convention a couple months ago, or about a year ago, I guess. And we had people there from Cheer. We had Special Olympics there. We had Senior Olympics there. We had a lot of people from different service areas in to tell the people and our communities what's available to them. And we did it all at one place to make it easy for our residents. It's a 55 and plus community. It's affordable for people retiring that are 55 and over. It's affordable, it's well maintained, and it's a very pleasant place to work and live. And I sincerely do hope that you'll pass this ordinance. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor.
Anyone else wish to speak in support?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
My name is Lori Rigby. I'm the executive director of the First State Manufactured Housing Association. And I appreciate your time and the opportunity today to support one of my members. Hopefully it goes without saying that in my position as that, a primary focus of my professional life is to promote a business atmosphere that encourages the success of various facets of the manufactured housing industry. And within the economic strife of our global economy at present, over the past year, et cetera, I have encountered numerous components of this industry that are enduring crisis levels of decline, businesses that are downsizing, closing, et cetera, the related service operations also. I think it speaks incredibly well of Colonial East Partnership that they are successful and eager to grow in an environment such as this. It's encouraging also that an established community, if you approve this ordinance, this established community can continue to thrive. It will allow additional citizens to acquire affordable housing, which is another very important concentration in my role. And in this beautiful area of Sussex County, as stated, there's large demand for that. As the lady before me spoke, repeatedly and overwhelmingly, I received confirmation speaking with the residents of these communities that the folks are pleased with their surroundings, their decision to live there. The owners and management of the community always get high marks with them. And I have heard them offer no objection of this expansion, and who would be more affected than the folks who are already there. So I hope you will join me in enthusiasm for this and approval of the project as well.
Thank you very much.
Anyone else wish to speak in support of the application?
Come on down, sir, please.
Good afternoon. My name is Jim Scalio, and I am a recent resident of Delaware, a retired government employee from Maryland that chose Delaware because it was one of the few states that was seemed friendly towards retired people. And I particularly chose Sussex East because after much research around the area, I found that the affordability was good. It's a very neat and clean neighborhood, and it's professionally run. The residents are quite friendly, and it's a quiet neighborhood. And I really think also that considering our current times, with all the baby boomers coming to pass now, and the environment the way, I mean, the economy the way it is, we have more of a need than ever for affordability and kind of housing that Steve and his people provide. I guess that's all I really have to say.
Thank you. Anyone Thank else you, wish to speak in support of the application?
We got a young lady couple. Okay.
My name is Lisa Birmingham, and I'm the owner of Creekside Homes here in Georgetown, and I also live off of Route 9. I'm here supporting the amendment or amending ordinance for the expansions of Sussex West. Our county does need more affordable housing. This is a 55-plus community, like we all know, and most of the residents don't need a larger lot to take care of. They're trying to downsize. Because most of them are on a fixed income. It's a very quiet community. Every time I've ever been in there, and I've been in there several times, friends with the classes, most of the neighbors are usually walking their dog or greeting you. I've never been in there and not been able to talk to a neighbor to find out something if I needed it. Basically, I support this issue, and that's pretty much all I have to say.
Thank you very much, ma'am.
Next, gentleman in the or lady in the back.
Young lady in the back.
While she's coming forward, the folder that was provided by the applicant, there's 18 letters.
With Thank you.
Support?
And support.
Okay. Go ahead, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
Hello. My name is Georgia Spade. I live at 41 Lantern Lane in Colonial East, and I'm here in support of the issue. We have lived in Colonial East for about 6 years full-time, and we're very happy there. We have a wonderful community. It's well-maintained. We don't need a lot of land to maintain ourselves. A lot of the people there are older, and some could be handicapped, so they can't really do all that. We're very active in our community. We do a lot of volunteer work in the area. Some of us work part-time. We vote. We're strong in numbers, and we're very supportive of each other in the community. We have little or no problems. We have a nice support group, well-maintained facilities, and we're very happy there. We came down here, this area, because we like it here, and it's what we could afford, and we're just happy with each other, and we're happy with the management. So I definitely am in support of this. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Anyone else?
Have one more young lady here.
Good afternoon. I would like to give my support for amending Ordinance 1817 and the...
Give us your name.
I'm sorry.
Sorry to interrupt you, but we need your name.
Carly Class.
And your address?
Lewis, Delaware.
Okay.
Thank you.
As
you can start again.
Okay.
That'd be cool.
Just like everybody else that had been up here, I'd like to give my support for the Ordinance 1817 and the expansion of Sussex West in Lewis, Delaware. Married to Ryan Class, who operates Bayside Homes. Bayside Homes has placed all of the homes in the existing Sussex West and Sussex East communities. I have been lectured more times than I can count on the quality of construction and the numerous options that manufactured housing consists of. Sussex West is a well-maintained community that is an affordable housing option in the beach area for seniors. Frequently, new residents of Sussex West are downsizing from large homes in surrounding states, as others have mentioned today. And lastly, my daughter Madeline attends Beach Babies on Highway 1, and frequently, most every day we travel Minnows Conaway Road, and I have not seen any significant traffic issues with this road. The road is well maintained by the state, and I see no issues with an increase in traffic. Again, I would like to give my support for Ordinance 1817 and the expansion of Sussex West. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Anyone else wish to be heard in support of the application? Is there anyone who would like to be heard in opposition to the application? Yes, sir.
Mr. Baker. Come on down, Wayne. Hey, Wayne.
Hey,
good afternoon.
My name is Wayne Baker. I reside at 17420 Minus Conway Road, Lewis, Delaware. My residence is sort of catty-cornered across from this property. I'm going to go back. The attorney for the Mr. Class spoke that this original conditional use was in 1985. I think the original conditional use for this property was in 1997 when it was first heard and granted by you all. All of you were members of the council at that time. My objection is based upon the fact that in 1997, myself and several residents of Minus Conway Road, that is Red Mill Farms, Edgewater Estates, Mallard Point, myself, Dave Shavak, and the surrounding neighborhoods came in strong opposition to this park at that time. And a deal was made, or your conditional use granted Mr. Class 108 units on that 55 acres of ground. And this is a conditional use. This new amended conditional use that he required for 1817 for today is to change that original conditional use to allow him to put, to increase the density on that property from roughly 2 units per acre to almost 4 units per acre on the whole 55 acres. There's no doubt about it that his criteria that he is using when he developed this 108 units on his 55-acre parcel land, he chose in and of himself to locate those 108 units on about 33 acres of that property. And making, if you will, the 22-acre parcel that is in question today, one of those 108 units. If he did not do that, then he's in violation of the original conditional use, because he can't have 108 units and then have an extra parcel set aside. It's one of those lots. But this is nothing against Mr. Class. What it is against is a deal that was made between us, the residents, on Minus Conway Road in 1997 versus what he's asked to do today. And he's trying to double down. He's trying to put additional, change his use, again, to add 82 additional units on that property because he chose to leave 22 acres or 20 acres open space. And we thought that was great. We thought he would do something with that open space field to make it some amenity for his park or do something different. But thinking now he did that with this in mind, he would come back to county council 10 years later thinking we would all forget what was said, what was done at that point in time, and that 10 years from now, he'd just come back and reapply, and then hopefully he would be granted. But all of you people were here in 1997. Vance wasn't?
I don't think he was.
Were you
here in 1997, Vance?
No.
Maybe he wasn't.
No.
But
anyhow.
It seems like you've been here forever.
This is my major objection, is a deal was made with us, the residents, and now he wants to change it. Now, somewhere, and I haven't heard it here today, there's got to be a criteria to change that original conditional use. I've heard a lot of people that speak in support of his, you know, they would like it to be this, like to do that, they'd like to put more mobile homes there. But there's got to be some kind of legal criteria to change that original conditional use. And nobody has offered any comments on what has changed in the neighborhood, what has changed in the community, what has changed to necessitate the change in the additional use. One last comment. This is a photo that my wife took yesterday of our 50-foot buffer zone that he was to have in his original plan along Minus Conway Road.
Right.
This was an old wire fence which grew up into a bunch of wild cherry trees, gum trees, whatever happened to grow. And that's his 50-foot buffer, which is, the road is 25 feet, so you can tell how wide the buffer is. And you can see piles of trash that he's piled back here where he's dug up dirt and created fill dirt. And that's all I've got to say.
Wayne, let me while you're there, Mr. Class originally asked for, I think,
220 some units,
which was like close to 4 units to the acre or somewhere around there.
Right.
And my recollection is, and I tried to lead part of the charge, it was fairly rural out there, I thought, and it was on the outer edges of our development district, and the 2 was more appropriate at that time. Now we see we're changing, and when I look at this aerial map, it does look like it's surrounded now, development's all over the place, and you got that little piece left there. Then we had the duplexes on the corner.
Right.
Right. I forget what they're called.
Mills Chase.
What is the density there, do you know?
It's less than 4, it's 3.7, 3.6.
So there has been some change, and when you say there hadn't been change, I think the county has
But look at Brittany Acres, look at Dave Chabot, look at Chuck and Alva Davison, look at myself, look at Mallard Point, look at Edgewater Estates, look at Red Mill Ponds, look at Nassau Park, look at Edgewater East on Route 1. All those thousands of people are on 2 units per acre.
Right, but there has been change. Since sewers come out there and the roads have been improved, DelDOT doesn't seem to have much opposition at this point.
Right.
It did years ago, I think.
I've lived on Road 265, Miles County Road, since 1975. Now, I'm not one to complain about traffic, but we have horses, and we drive carriages. And recently, we found it almost impossible to drive horses and carriages on Miles Conway Road. Take them down the road because cars just zoom by you. They have no consideration at all for us. But I don't care. I'll move out to the farm. I'm lucky enough to have additional properties. But we'll move our horses out there. I don't really care. So I'm not going to comment about traffic. That's DelDOT's problem, not mine.
Okay, but I didn't see the negative comments this time around as we did the last time. I think there were some concerns.
There are serious problems in Miles County Road. You try to get on Route
9. I know, the whole area has got problems. I agree with that.
And I'm not saying we need more traffic, but, additional 80 homes probably wouldn't make that much of a change because it's torn up the way it is. But I'm going to give this photo of his buffer zone.
Please, Wayne, could you give it to Jim, please?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Anyone else like to be heard in opposition to this application? Again, anyone else want to be heard in opposition to the application? Because once we close the records typically close. So if there's anyone here who feels they haven't had their opportunity, now would be the time. Let the record show no one else asked to be recognized. do you wish me to close the record, gentlemen?
I guess.
Anybody have questions that they haven't had answered?
I guess we need a positive motion. Is that right, Mr. Lang? And P&Z turned us down.
You typically act that way.
Yes. And we don't have any conditions other than what the conditions were from the previous case, that we should have some kind of conditions.
You do have proposed amended conditions attached to the ordinance that was published.
Correct.
They are at the end, and there are, 13 of them.
Right.
Do you want Mr. Lank to read those?
Now, where are they now?
At the end of the amended ordinance, the last pages 4 and pages 5.
I don't think.
Okay.
The other conditions are shown as in brackets, so they're deleted. These are underlined. They're the proposed conditions for this ordinance.
I think during the minutes is what they
yeah, no, I got
yeah,
it.
Jim has the ordinance. We just got minutes. Okay, Jim.
Well, let's review them. I've been looking through. I haven't really focused.
Want me to read them? I'll be happy to.
Yeah, let's. If we have any comments, can we interrupt as you go through them?
Sure.
No. Okay.
The preliminary site plan shall be required to be reviewed by the Technical Advisory Committee, Planning and Zoning Commission, and if required and not waived, by the Office of State Planning. The preliminary site plan shall include a phasing schedule and projected timetable. Number three, the development shall comply with requirements of DLDOT regarding entrance, intersection, roadway, and multimodal improvements, street connection to the existing Sussex East development, construction of a sheltered bus stop on Route 9, of a design and location acceptable to DLDOT, and no signs advertising commercial use shall be directed toward Route 9. Number four, the lots may be developed at a minimum of 5,000 square feet per lot, and the number of lots shall not exceed 190 for lease only. Number five, the project shall be served by central sewer as part of the existing West Rehoboth expansion of the Dewey Beach Sanitary Sewer District, and shall comply with all requirements of the Sussex County Engineering Department regarding public sewer service. The applicant may be responsible for the construction of any upgrades to the sewer system at its cost and shall be subject to the approval of the county engineer. Number six, the project shall be served by a public central water system providing adequate drinking water and fire protection as required by applicable regulations. Number seven, the applicant shall submit as part of the site plan review a landscape plan showing the proposed landscape design. The 50-foot buffer shall be landscaped and maintained along Minus Conaway Road and the railroad to screen the project. Number eight, neither deleted nor amended final plan shall be submitted to the Planning and Zoning Commission for review upon receipt of all appropriate agency approvals and or permits. Number nine, amenities previously required by the Planning and Zoning Commission have been constructed. What that's saying is if you're going to require any additional amenities, you would have to require that. Number 10, stormwater management, erosion, and sediment control shall be constructed in accordance with applicable state and county requirements and will utilize best management practices. Number 11, the interior street design shall be in accordance with or exceed Sussex County street design requirements and or specifications. Number 12, construction site work, grading, and deliveries of construction material, landscape materials, and fill on, off, or to the project shall only occur between the hours of 7 a.m., 6 p.m., Monday through Friday. There shall be no construction activities on Sunday. Number 13, road naming and addressing shall be approved by the Sussex County Mapping and Addressing Department.
Number nine, the amenities. Was there amenities shown? I saw the site plan. Is there any amenities on this site?
Yeah. Yep.
The amenities are within the existing Sussex West. And Sussex.
So there's none on these. So there was a one I'm reading from, I guess, a different. Listen, yeah. It said amenities shall be required after 75 units. Was that?
Jim was reading the amendments or the conditions proposed attached to the ordinance.
Right. Okay. That's off the original
orange. Okay, I'm looking at our minutes here, and the minutes had a good point, though. I'm just seeing if where they talked about phasing back in number two. Right. They actually specified 25 units per year.
Right.
Average, not exceeding 35 units per year. Is that in yours, if we adopt this, or is that what you just said?
It's not in the conditions I read.
Right, it's not. Okay. Right. That probably is a good thing to put in. Is it possible is there any consensus to add that?
I have no problem with it.
No. Any? You got three. Keep going.
Mr. Lank could probably recapture that from the minutes if you wanted him to.
All right. Well, I think it seems important.
Well, it said on number two, which Jim read, was that the preliminary site plan shall include a phasing schedule and projected timetable.
All right, but it didn't say what.
No.
Where did the 25 units and 35 units come from? Who suggested that?
That was back in 97.
Oh, that's from the 97. Okay.
Right.
Now, so the lots in the original section are 5,000 square feet?
Right. Could be.
The lots that they show average 6,700 square feet.
Anywhere from 6,000 to 15,000, I think they said.
66, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
The ordinance provides that the minimum size is 5,000.
So we're just sticking with the ordinance is what we're saying.
But they're asking for a specific number of units, and the buffers and everything else will prescribe how big they are.
Okay. All right. I guess that my only concern was the phasing and the amenities. There are none. So right.
Right.
In this.
Well, it's not. Yeah.
Not in these 82.
Huh?
Not in these 82. They use amenities that's in the original phase one,
which is way that's not that's just other one. That's the one that was over by the clubhouse, right?
Correct.
Okay.
There's some green space, but it's not an amenity shown.
Okay, does this meet our open space requirements and all that stuff that we've been talking about?
It meets the criteria established by the conditional use ordinance.
Does it meet our what we were just discussing not long ago about open space?
It's separate from that ordinance because it's a conditional use mobile home park has specific criteria that was not amended.
We don't have any conditions.
Okay, what's the difference?
A lot.
Quite a lot? Could you tell me what the difference would be?
The conditional use provides that a mobile home community that's lease lots provide a minimum of 300 square feet per lot for the purpose of open space.
I think we should have some conditions made.
Okay.
Separate from the buffers. The buffers are separate. Then you have the 50-foot buffer around the perimeter.
Thanks, Tim.
Which is green space, but not counted as a part of the open space.
Thanks.
Okay. So he now, what do we require now with our open space?
We'll discuss it later in the next ordinance.
I know, but it might be too late for this.
Difference in what's for right now, because this is a mobile home park.
Okay, well, what is in a subdivision? This was a subdivision.
It varies depending on the size of lots from none to 30%.
Conditions of these 13.
Mm-hmm. So it's different.
I'm saying these conditions of the 13.
It's a different animal because it's conditional use has specific
that
criteria
read
for a park.
The 13.
That's the conditions.
Up to you.
The parking space and a half, George.
Mr. Griffin, should you do some, put these in as conditions, or do you think this is sufficient?
The ones I read.
These are what was against the 1997 Phase 1, isn't that correct?
Well, these that I read are amended for this particular ordinance.
Okay.
If there's something over and above that you wanted to add, you'd...
I think Mr. Cole suggested the 25 and the 35 per year average.
The phasing?
That would probably go in, if you work, that would probably work best as at the end of number two, wouldn't it, Mr. Lank?
That's most appropriate since you're referencing phasing and projected timetables.
Could I make a brief comment to save you some trouble? In your booklet, the sewer department has capped this at 25 already.
Before you upgrade
it. It's in your booklet already.
Yeah, but a lot of times what we say here trumps the sewer department. I hate to say it.
But we say the same thing as what they're saying, though.
If we do, if we say something different,
put the 25, he's allowed to do 25 EDUs until he does the upgrade on the pumping station.
Okay.
I mean, you could certainly add that. That would coincide with the engineering department.
Your suggestion be that it be the same as the original 1997 ordinance 1187, which said... The phasing schedule may include an average of 25 units per year, not exceeding 35 units per year in any given year.
So if they do 35 one year, they don't get to do so many the next year, right?
Right.
Is what you're saying. Yeah. And will the sewer engineering, I guess that will work?
They can only do 25. You've read the minutes, 25, and then they have to upgrade the pumping station.
Why don't we just forget the not exceeding, just say that no more than 25 units per year?
Comes out to 3 3/4 of a year is all it comes out to anyway.
Wait.
You're talking 82. Not even that, 3.5 years.
That's fine.
That works.
That's fine.
Yeah, just category 25.
I think you ought to go with the engineering department discussion. I mean, because they're going to...
So at the end of number two, you're talking about adding something to the effect that it would not exceed 25 to...
What I just heard.
Yeah.
Not exceeding 25 per year.
So that's all right. It's only three. It takes 3.5 years. You can do it anyway. So it's not a long-term impact. Not like they're developing thousands of units or two. It'll be 3 years.
Oh, yeah. But then site work will be very minimum because the infrastructure is already there.
So they can do site work.
Huh?
They can do all the site work, set all the lots up. They just can't bring in units. We're talking about units, not site work.
But if you couldn't sell them, why would you worry about it?
I don't know. Whatever. I don't know. There's consensus to go with 25.
I don't know. I mean,
let's find out. Is there consensus, gentlemen, to go with 25 units per year? Dale?
I don't have a problem with it. I think.
Lynn?
Not a problem with it.
I don't have any problem. That's 3. Let's go.
So that should read, the number of units permitted shall not exceed 25 units per year.
That sounds like a consensus.
Might be.
Word permitted.
All right. Read it. Let's go.
Any stockpile?
What?
You said 25 a year. If he doesn't use all 25, does that mean he's going to roll over?
Nope, 25 a year. He can't exceed 25 a year. If he does less, he does less. Maybe the marketplace means less. So.
But he's probably going
to
be
I think he should be able to roll him over if he's going to, I mean, if you're going to limit
him. He's probably going
to
be a year.
I think this is a mobile phone.
And
yeah. Roll your minutes.
Yeah. Gentlemen,
quiet and a peanut. Quiet down.
Did you have any more questions? Because I haven't closed the public record. But.
If we say an average of 25, because the first year he may not give him five in there. So that would limit him. You know, the next year he could go to 45 as long as you don't make more than 25 average per year.
That's fair.
From the date of adoption.
All right, we'll do that. That's fine. Let's do something. 25 average.
From the date of adoption, yeah. Okay. Let's do it.
You won't? Close the public hearing. We will close the public hearing. The title of the ordinance being considered is an ordinance to amend ordinance number 1187 for conditional use number 1198, a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for an expansion of an existing manufactured home park known as Sussex West by adding 82 lots, phase 2, to the currently constructed 108 lots, phase 1, creating a manufactured home community of 190 lots to be located on a certain parcel of land lying in being Lewis Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, Delaware, containing 55.29 acres, more or less.
I make a motion we approve CU 1817 with the 13 conditions as discussed.
And that it says not to exceed, right, 108 units? Is that correct?
No, 80. No, not to exceed 82.
82. Oh, 82 units.
108 is what's already there.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. 82.
Need a second, gentlemen.
Second.
We move to second that we approve conditional use 1817 with the 13 conditions as stated. Mr. Cole.
Please give your reasons.
I'm going to vote yes because the request is for an extension of an existing mobile home park. There's no negative responses from any state agency. The DelDOT also doesn't have any problem at this point. The access will be through the existing traffic road, the roadways that there already exist. And also, when you look at the aerial maps of this area, it's generally it would be referred to as an infill. And if there's any place that's maybe appropriate for additional development, this would probably be it.
Thank you, Mr. Cole. Mr. Phillips?
I vote yes for the same reasons.
That's pretty even. Mr. Dukes? You can do that.